Yeah.
What up, little mommies?
What up?
You can see me this week, Crackers Comedy Club, downtown location, Indianapolis, Indiana, April 17th through 20. Following week, if you're in Austin, come see me at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, April 24th through 27th. And then Cleveland, Bob's Cleveland, if you're there at Cleveland Improv, May 9th through 12th. And of course, May 17th, Portland, Oregon, your mom's house comedy tour with my husband, Tom Segura. You may have heard of him. And then May 18th in Seattle with Tommy Buns, again, doing your mom's house, doing what we do best.
Damn.
What up, Jeans?
Damn.
What about you, man?
Well, yo. Hold on, yo. Yo.
Turn up in my headphones.
So look, this weekend, April 18, 19, 20, and 21, I'm in San Jose at the Improv. On the 19th, I'll be doing a couple shows with Joe Rogan up there at the Improv. Pretty sure if those are not sold out right now, I assume they already are, but if they're not, they definitely will. So if you want to see Rogan and me together, that's the show to go to.
Oh my God. It's a very powerful show.
Powerful show. If not, I'm there the days around that, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So come see one of those shows if that Rogan show is no longer available. Let's see. The week after, I will be in Orlando at the Improv the 25th through the 28th. Then Toronto at the Underground Comedy Club, High on Trees, Clandestiny. The Saturday show sold out.
Okay.
So that means there's two other options, the Thursday or the Friday. So please, I want our show fans to come to the show. So if you're listening and you're in the greater Toronto area, please go to tomsegura.com, click on my live shows, and there's a link there to tickets. Please get tickets. I would love to see you at the show. The next week, the 8th through the 11th, I'm in Austin at Cap City. Haven't been back in 5 years. Very excited about that.
We're both in Austin. This is interesting. Different
times.
But
different times. Yeah.
But it's the same. It's the same city.
And then with my jeans in Portland and Seattle. Portland, I don't even know. I think there's a few tickets left. That really, because that's a limited size venue.
Yeah.
We have a little more room in Seattle, but the Portland one's smaller. So if you're a Portland listener, get the tickets now so you don't get left out. We want to have all our
Portland. The reason we did it in like a normal sized venue is like there's nothing worse than doing stand up for more than 100 people, I think. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those big rooms. Like, I hate fucking 400 seaters. Why are you?
I know.
It sucks. You can't really see people.
Well, stand up is better intimate.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, it's always fun to do a massive show. You're like, there was 1,200 people at the show.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, that's incredible, man. And you get to perform and you hear this really loud thing. But the real thing is like that,
like
100
people.
To 200. Yeah. That size. Because that's super intimate. You really get to be who you are.
That's where you connect. You really connect. You can really pull your jeans up or down, have them around your ankles, or pull them up high and tight.
I don't know if I'd like that. Look, this episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Stamps.com. Small businesses know from experience that going to the post office is a waste of time. But leasing an expensive postage meter is out of the question.
Mm-mm.
We know a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Stamps.com. Stamps.com will save you valuable time. Get 24/7 access to all the services of the post office right from your desk. Whether you're sending envelopes or packages, first class or priority, domestic or international, get the postage you need from your own computer and printer and Stamps.com. It's quick and easy and really convenient. You'll never have to go to the post office again, so you can spend more time on more things like growing your business. We use Stamps.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to be using it, by the way, today or tomorrow to send out some of our stuff. And thankfully, we have this because it probably saves us like 5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Every time that we do this, something like this.
So whenever we do packages, it's usually in between road weeks. Like,
yeah.
I'm home now. Tom's home now for like maybe a total of 36 hours.
Yeah.
We don't have time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time.
Go down to the post office. Do it in your house, man.
Yeah. It's great. It is really great.
Embrace technology.
We've said it before. We were fans and we were using this before they sponsored us. So here's our special offer right now. Use our promo code MOM, M-O-M, to no risk trial. $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Oh. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in MOM. That's stamps.com. Enter M-O-M. Thank you, stamps.com. All right. Wow, we got a lot to cover.
I know.
Are you pretty much ready to start the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Oh, my God.
You worked at a number of
places.
So the last place that I know in New York that you worked at. And
Tavern
you,
on the Green.
When there's a lot of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans working under you at that one? Was that
no,
one?
Oh, my God. No. Thankfully, no.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitsin. Christina Pajitsin.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Theo got startled by sunshine. He was napping and the sunshine woke him up.
Came through.
Guys, I don't know if you're aware, but today is Tommy Buns' birthday. It's his Smurf day.
Babe, you weren't supposed to say that. That's not something that you just announced.
It is. It's your Smurf day and I love you. And happy birthday to my sweetest husband. You're the best.
Thanks, babe.
And you're only 24 years old, and the world is open to you.
I can do whatever I want to do.
Anything. Happy birthday. Today's the day you came out of your mom's pussy. Oh, you came out bloody and full of stuff. And she wiped you and she kissed you.
Is that the lyrics that I'm not hearing?
Yes, that's the original version.
Your mom's pussy, she pushed you out of her pussy.
Pussy hole, and you came squirting out.
And there was juices and coochie juice on you.
Oh. How do you feel? You're only 24 today.
Feel good. I feel good, man.
Do you feel different?
You know, I've always been pretty pretty comfortable with birthdays and aging. I don't really...
Doesn't bug you?
Nah, it really doesn't.
Not even 30? You didn't feel different?
30 was a realization. 30 made me go, oh, like, it's really, you're not a kid.
Yeah. You're a grown-ass man.
You're a grown-ass man. And also made me realize shit like when you're 30... And you do something, you accomplish something. Mm. It's because you're supposed to,
right?
It's because you're 30, you fucking asshole.
It's not exceptional anymore.
Yeah, I always thought that things were exceptional, and I guess in a way they are. They're like, wow, you're 28 and you just did that. Yeah. Wow, at 30 it was like, yeah, what do you want, a fucking cookie? Yeah. Like you just that's
no
what people
more.
Do.
And it's funny because when you hit 30. Everything is like you're a loser now. Meaning like if you haven't done it by then, I felt like a loser. And if you do it after 30, it's you're right. It's no big deal. Like, we got married. Well, you're supposed to. Stupid.
Yeah, it totally is.
Who cares?
You could be like, I cured cancer. And they're like, you're 33. Big fucking deal, man.
It's about
time. I'm happy
to
do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to it. Well, this is exciting. So last night we went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Tommy and I dined together.
It was a celebration.
A celebration, and there was a gay waiter who kept putting his butt into our table.
Yep.
And that was good. We ate a lot, and then this morning we took pretty ferocious dumps.
Dude, well, wait a minute. I didn't really get to talk to you about yesterday. Yesterday was very...
Next up, Brown Talk. Brown Talk coming up. You've been warned.
Okay. I didn't really get to tell you this, but yesterday was very shitty for me.
Okay.
Okay. And I mean...
Well, how so? Could you describe it?
Well, not a bad day, and that's not what I mean. Oh. I mean a very brown day. Okay. What happened was when Maria was here, which we're jumping all over the place, but
we'll
our opening clip was from last episode, which we just realized... I think it might be my favorite episode ever. Like, it was making me laugh so hard.
Well, because when we were filming it, when we were taping it, I thought, is this really funny? Just because we're so used to how Maria talks.
Yeah.
And playing it back, hilarious.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
She is hilarious.
It's so funny. She's so goddamn funny.
We'll get into that. We're jumping ahead. But go back to this dump. I don't think I didn't hear enough about this yesterday. So
okay.
Fill me in.
Well... She left yesterday, and she was supposed to leave much earlier. So I flew back on purpose earlier to spend time with her from Vancouver, which, by the way, was fucking amazing again.
Vancouver, yes.
Absolutely fantastic.
A lot of mommies?
A ton. Oh, and I got to say, you have a lot of fans there. You really need to go to Vancouver. It's really, you should just make the call and be like, hey, I'd like to come.
I know, I talk about it. Well, it's a new booker now, so maybe that'll work to my advantage, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to tell my agent. I'm going to call show business, and let's figure it out.
Hey, show biz, I'd like to do this. Anyways, so I fly back early to see, because I don't really get to see Maria a lot. So
yeah,
Maria,
we only spent one night with her.
The night that we did the show, yeah.
Yeah, she did the show with us, and then the next morning we both split.
Yeah, so I flew back early. I got on the 6 a.m. flight, got in. Saw her a little bit. I had to lay down for a minute.
Now, waking up at 6 a.m. Can put some stress on your bowels.
It can. It really can. Mm. And I then, when I got back, I go, well, since it's your last night, I'd like to do something, you know, nice. Why don't I grill out? And Maria's, you know, a phenomenal cook.
Amazing.
So she was like, yeah, I went and bought these bison steaks.
I've never had bison.
Yeah, it was really good. But I got to tell you, any type of beef, any type of meats like that, red meat, I enjoy the taste of it. Mm. It always has a pretty profound effect on my brown.
Well, I've noticed that it
my beef farts. You've smelled my beefy farts.
I was just going to say, it produces a very odoriferous fart from you. Mm-hmm. And I can tell when you've been eating red meats. Mm-hmm. I know this because when you farted, was it last night or the night before? Gosh, I can't remember when I came home. Yesterday was Monday. You farted.
Yeah.
And Theo was on the bed, and even his head, he perked up as if to say, dear God, what is that smell?
Mm-hmm.
And you lit a match to try to camouflage it, and the match didn't even make a difference.
It didn't really even knock a dent in that fart.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
no.
The thing is that... What a
I'm
fart.
I'm thinking about it now. I'm thinking and reminiscing.
Do you know why I farted like that yesterday?
No.
Because I had a leftover and I sliced it up and made a sandwich of the bison.
Oh.
So
mystery
here
solved.
I am thinking, oh, I got that bison out of me, but I reintroduced it. More farts.
Yep. Double dip.
Yep.
It's a double bison fart now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we have another one.
What do you mean?
In the fridge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I guess eat it. I guess.
You know what? It's your birthday. I can't tell you not to eat it and not to fart. It's not. That's not my place today.
Right.
So if that's what you want, you got to do it.
Well, after yesterday then, which is the day after I ate the full portion of the steak, I just was, you know, shitting over and over and over again.
Mm.
And they were the kind that, like, it kind of makes me think every time I have, sometimes when I have red meat, not on the way down, on the way out, I go, maybe I shouldn't have this. Maybe eating this is not good.
Yeah, but you know, you can't deny yourself the yummy taste. You can't worry about the consequences in life, Tom. You know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta roll the dice. You got to go for it.
Colon cancer?
Yeah, if that's what it is. For instance, yesterday, I came home and I got my pho.
You did.
little spicy going in. You know what that means, spicy going in? Spicy on the way out.
How was it? Was it?
Super spicy this morning. Because not only do I have dinner, I had pho behind that. Or sorry, the first layer of my poo was the pho, and then dinner layer on top of it.
You must have had a pretty fucking hectic brown.
It was a lot. It was, I'm not going to lie, it was a lot, and it was a bit of a stinger. It was a lot.
Okay.
But, that's also coming off the road, too, a little road ass thrown in, so.
That always does something to it. It really does.
Yeah. I try not to eat too much of the comedy club food, but here's my problem. Last day, I always break down on that Sunday, and I always end up getting the quesadilla.
Yeah.
Or
I always break
sticks.
Down the last day, too.
Yeah. You say no all week, and then Sunday, you're like, it's fucking Sunday. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't care if I get diarrhea. I don't care.
I got to get some greens in me.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah. Well, happy birthday. I'm so glad to be spending another one with you.
I know. And then, we're doing something cool, our birthday. I mean, this is going to be up afterwards, obviously, but we're spending our birthday evening, my birthday evening.
Yawning into the microphone?
Well, it happens. We're doing Theo's fundraiser.
I can't wait. And here's the thing. Even if it wasn't for our dog, this is going to be... Like, this is a show that's so much fun, and it's an excuse to do a fun show.
Totally.
It's going to be so radical.
Yeah.
Brian Hainer, Mary Lynn Rice Cub, Joey Coco Diaz. Who else? Ari Schaefer.
Burt Kreischer.
And?
Joseph Powerful Nuts Rogan.
Crazy James.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That's a crazy lineup.
It's so much fun. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
And then tomorrow I fly to Indy.
Yeah, and I go to San Jose.
What were the birthdays like growing up? Did your parents give you a lap?
And Red Band.
Oh, and Red Band. Oh my gosh, I forgot Brian. That's
such a crazy lineup.
I know. It's so good because he was last minute.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah. Oh,
okay, God. Say it again.
So Smurf days growing up. Did
your
parents give you a lot of Smurf day love? What was a birthday like for you growing up?
I mean, I can very much remember early ones. There was a place in Cincinnati where, there's like Chuck E. Cheese, which we did that kind of thing.
Loved
but there
Chuck
was
e.
one that had a guy who was an awesome keyboard player.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a Chuck E. Cheese. It was a different type of, a place you would go to with a kid.
Like Farrell's? Ice cream? You ever had a Farrell's?
No, not like that. It was a place people went to for birthday parties.
And it was a cool keyboard player?
It was a cool keyboard player. I mean, I'm sure if I saw him now, I wouldn't be like, you're a pretty fucking badass keyboard player. But as a kid, here's what was so cool. You could say any song.
Oh, yeah.
And he could play
that guy.
Which blew your mind.
Yeah, that guy.
So you'd be having pizza or whatever, cake. And then, at the time when I was, seven... I just loved the Star Wars theme.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'd be like, will you play the Star Wars theme? And he'd be like, sure, man. And then he'd just play it. And I was like, this is the coolest shit fucking ever. Yes. Anything.
Talent.
Anything.
Well, there was a guy. My parents used to take me to a restaurant called Little Vienna. It doesn't exist anymore in LA.
Yeah.
And it was Austrian and Hungarian food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, there was a violinist. He would come to your table and the same thing.
Happy Budapunk.
He would beatbox on the violin. No, he would play any song on the violin.
Yeah.
So you could be like fucking, Prince and the Revolution or whatever, and he'd figure it out on the violin. But my favorite song when I was four was It's a Small World.
Oh, really?
And he would come over and play It's a Small World. And I would get so embarrassed, I would hide under the table. But I loved him.
It's the coolest thing, right?
Yeah, it's such a talent. Oh, my God.
That's the thing that I think excites me the most. In life, I think one of the first things that I wish I could do is have that ability to just
play
music.
No, I know. Yeah, totally.
So awesome, man.
It is awesome. It's such a skill. I never fucking did anything. Oh my God. I was just remembering, I had a birthday once. I was seven and all my little classmates came over. And at the time, my nana, my asshole, she's like my asshole grandma that nobody likes.
Yeah.
She's dead, but she used to dress up my Uncle Steve as a girl until he was four.
That's so fucking...
Have I not talked about this on the podcast? Did Julie and I talk about this?
I don't know if you guys talked about it.
Julie,
I don't think you guys did.
Julie liked her. I remember being like when Nana died, I was like, later. And Julie was really upset because she was closer to Nana. Anyway, Nana was a real dick to my dad and to my uncle and just really an abusive shit of a woman. But You know when you're a little kid and all you want is like the store-bought birthday cake that every, like, oh, I want the white icing and the unicorn on the thing. One year she made me like a homemade Hungarian birthday cake and all my friends came over and she put fucking jelly beans, I remember, like, on it to decorate it. And I'm like, that sucks. And it was just disgusting. You know when you just want like the real thing and then she gives you like the dirty jelly bean immigrant foreigner cake?
Yeah.
You're like, fuck you. It really bummed me out. It really ruined my 7th birthday.
Did she make it from lemons that she pulled from the backyard?
It wasn't a lemon cake, thankfully. It was some other disgusting, not tasty.
If you don't know, Nana, Christina's grandmother, found lemons from the lemon tree and was like, she thought she found a treasure. And she juiced every lemon.
Juiced it.
And put them in the freezer. She thought she was like, this could last us for years.
For years. Because in Hungary, she never saw a lemon during communism. So she came to visit my dad back in the 90s. And she juiced every goddamn lemon on that tree, put the juice in Ziploc bags, and freezed Ziploc bags of lemon juice.
Do you realize what type of crazy, tough life she must have been coming from, though?
Oh, awful. Yeah. All my family came from like hard knocks, terrible immigrant communists. She never had a lemon in her life.
Of
and
course.
She grew up in, you know, World War I and World War II.
Wow. That's pretty awful.
You know.
Well, in honor of my birthday,
yeah.
Do you think it's okay if I...
Still brings a smile to your face. Look at you. You love it. You love it. Do you imagine yourself in a spaceship?
No, just as a little boy, this was taking me to a cute little boy, might I add.
Oh,
just
my
to
God.
Like such excitement and wonder and just open mouth smile.
Oh. What a wonderful time to grow up. How lucky that we had Star Wars and E.T. Cool shit. George Lucas, thank God.
Yeah, then you had to go fuck everything up with your. Making three more of them pieces of shit. Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks.
Fuck, man.
Stupid. You know what's so cute? Every time it's your birthday, your mother always says the same thing. She goes, when Tommy was born, he was very long.
Long legs.
Long legs.
And a long nose.
And then your dad, he always says how sweet you were. Yeah, yeah. Tommy. Tommy was
the cutest kid.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt a fly. Just the sweetest kid. Then I turned him into a killer.
Yeah. He put you into what, football to make you a killer or karate first?
First was taekwondo. Yeah. Okay.
Did that make you into a killer?
No, not at all.
Never.
Not at all.
So cute. You must have been the cutest little baby. Oh my God. With a little beard?
I did not have a beard.
A full beard and full chest hair?
Oh, come on.
Did you shit a lot when you were a baby? Oh my God.
Yeah, I think I did. Well, I, I had a digestive problem.
No.
I was constipated a lot when I was, like, not a baby, but when I was, like,
My, you.
Yeah, like, when I was 5-6 years old.
The irony now. I mean, look at you now. You would never know you had that problem.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. I mean, now you're such a prolific shitter.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
Yeah, they used to put, what's it called, the suppositories?
Ugh, those are rough.
And then my dad, I don't remember this part. I mean, I remember him holding me down and putting those in. But then he was like, you would just take the biggest shits after that.
You know what, too? There's easier ways to shit than a suppository.
Well, he would hit me first. Mega shit. Mega shit. But then after that.
You know what I mean? You could take a laxative. I don't know why parents insisted. My mother one time, I couldn't shit in my 20s. And she says, you know what you have to do? You have to push a suppository to your rectum. I'm like, push a suppository to my rectum? Is that what you're telling me to do? Yes, push the suppository to your rectum.
Did you do it?
Well, here's the thing. The one time I fucking listened to my mom, because she has terrible advice on everything in life, but I tried it in my 20s. I think I was 25, and I couldn't even push the whole thing in. It's so traumatic to put something in your own asshole. You know how hard it is to put something in your own asshole?
Love to do that to you. now.
To put a suppository in my
absolutely
butthole.
Love to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
What part would you love the most? What part excites you?
Rimming you before I put it in.
Do you know? Okay, so do you know what happened though?
This is the outside.
Figure eights. I put the suppository like halfway in my bum hole.
Yeah.
And then I shit immediately.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It just sizzled in there a second and then.
And then I just shit everywhere. Yeah. It was big? Menacing. Yeah. Well, because I hadn't crapped in like 4 days.
What was that from, you think?
Gosh, you know, that was a long time ago. I was living with a Chinaman. So maybe it was anxiety about my failed relationship, you know?
Oh.
You know when you live with someone and they make you miserable and it manifests itself?
Now, yes. I get it.
Manifested
100%.
Itself.
110%.
Mm. Would you use a suppository now?
No. No, I would not.
You couldn't even find your asshole. There's so much fur back there.
Whatever, dude. It's not
so
true.
Hairy.
It's not true, man.
Do you even know where your butthole is? I don't. I certainly don't.
You've reached a bunch of times and been like, is that it? And I'm like, no, you're not touching my butthole.
How can you
reach and be like, is that it? And
I've
not
tried.
Know.
Because I know that it's very hot. Yeah. Like when I try to touch your butthole, the heat coming off that area, like yeah. I know I'm closer and I'm also very afraid.
Well, if you were to look,
I'm so afraid,
you could see the smoke and then you would know exactly where the hole is because it's usually like. It's pretty hot little butthole. Yeah. So can we recap for a second? Can we just for a moment talk about how amazing Maria was?
Oh my gosh.
She was sending me pictures all weekend when I was in Vancouver.
Oh god.
Of Theo and of her son.
Yeah.
Of her son. Blah blah. And
well, first of all, Weston and Maria were up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was unbelievably loud. It was unbelievably loud. it was really like unnecessarily loud.
Yeah.
And I kept being like, dude, will you please bring it down? And for her, because what she does is she gets up at like around 5, which is when he gets up. And then she's like, it is on, okay? She doesn't give a fuck at that point.
Yeah.
So she gets up, and he is high energy.
Right.
Super high energy. So what they do is immediately it's playtime. Like he wakes up. He doesn't like, not like, that's the thing you don't realize. I guess, I don't know if all babies are like this, but like, as an adult, you slowly kind of get up, right? Like
you especially.
You sit up, you scratch.
It takes you an hour.
Yeah, you know, you're like, waking up. You know, you have your coffee. I don't expect a baby to have a coffee, but I'm saying like, you know, there's that waking up period. He's like, I'm up. Let's fucking do this.
Right, let's run.
So she picks him up. She puts him down. He's immediately crashing cars. Yeah. And she's like coaching him, like, you know, doing like approval. Like, yay! So I hear at 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear like, yeah, yay! And I was like, holy shit. And then I get up and I was like, I know. I was like, Maria, what's up? I go, could you bring it down a notch? Sorry. And I'm like, okay.
Yay!
So it's just full fucking blast. And
look at Foofy's trying to get your love.
Oh, hi, buddy. Hi, buddy.
He loves you.
I know.
Our dog was a little different. When I came home yesterday, Theo leapt into my arms. He just hid in my lap because Weston and Maria were still here when I got home, as if to be like, Mommy, you're back. They got you here. There's a lot going on when you were here. There was a lot going on. He's way chiller now.
Totally. I think they kind of got him into a high energy. Like he was... Because first of all, we don't wake up at 5. I don't know if our listeners know this about us or not, but we're not up at 5 a.m.
Not voluntarily, for sure.
So I think what happened was that he was waking up every day at 5. And then they don't they don't calm down till 9. That's like the first nap.
Oh, no.
So he was probably following their pattern, which had to freak him the fuck out. And Maria's crazy, crazy energy. So anyways, one of the things she told me was that there's like a Starbucks like a mile from our place. Mm. She went 6 times a day.
Are you serious?
6 times a day.
Six times. I haven't gone to that Starbucks 6 times since we've lived here.
Right.
Since we moved in October. I don't think I just want
the topping part. Like you put whipped cream on as a topper. If right. I ask for a lot more whipped cream, are you going to charge me for a fucking latte too?
Right.
Some more. You have to push the button for the whipped cream to come out. Now is that a latte? Because she had to push the fucking button that says steam milk, she decided, oh, it's a latte.
Mm.
And I know I don't work at Starbucks, but I think I frequent there enough to know.
You definitely frequent it enough to know.
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
That was a little bit of...
controversy.
Maria, upset about her. He's going to... trip on a cord.
Yeah, that's what he did last time. So when he jumps down, he'll rip your earphones.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, 6 visits to Starbucks a day. They knew her, of course.
Right. By the end of her trip, they knew.
They knew her by the end of day one. Right. And they're like, hey, bitch, you've been here 5 other times today. And she's like, they know my name. I walked in there and they're like, hi, Maria. And I was like, oh, cool. And she was like, they're like, where's the baby? And
where's the baby?
I said, she told them about me. She's like, my brother loves her. So I'm going to have to go in there and bring up Maria.
oh, and they're coming to me, fool.
See if they punish me for being related.
Oh, man.
Can
I just, before we move on,
yeah.
I didn't thank everybody in Denver. You have no idea the mommy love that we got for Theo. I'm petting my dog. I'm just remembering it. So many wonderful gifts and donations to our dog. I got a pair of doggy jeans, doggy jeans.
You
got
to post these pictures.
I will. And Anne knitted him a Cosby sweater, hand knitted a Cosby sweater. We got greenies. We got chew toys. We got all kinds of wonderful things. And someone, I forget this dude's name, made a t-shirt for me that said, UB40, their music is dog shit. So awesome. We have the best listeners.
Dude, that is, first of all,
Thank you so much.
I just want you to know that I find that highly fucking offensive. Oh. And I do not agree.
Oh! Hey, I'm gonna take my earphones off.
Best fucking song of all time.
His voice sucks too. It sucks. So anyway, so she goes to Starbucks 6 times a day. Now we were talking about this last night at dinner. A lot of listeners were very disturbed by the $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
Budget. But Tommy and I were talking, and we think the 6 trips a day. It's kind of like something for her to do. It's like a ritual.
Right. Well, you got to understand about Maria. First of all, I don't know if we've said this already, because you and I were talking about this, I think, off of the show. Going back and listening to that show, it really is not only one of my favorite episodes now to listen to. If you missed it, you got to go. I don't know if everybody even knows yet still that we're having 2 episodes a week right now.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So we're still doing Wednesday every week, but we're adding Friday now.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to episode 109, which came out on Friday. And if you missed it. But the thing about Maria is that Maria is not a sit still person.
Yeah.
Like what I was telling you last night was that I remember when we were at home as children, especially like on a vacation or something, too. Like if I was with her, like hanging out, she would be like, "What do you want to do?" And I'd be like, I'm doing it right now. I'm just sitting here. And she's like, I'm so bored.
Yeah.
I want to go do something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that she lives in a perpetual state of boredom.
Right.
She doesn't like to sit still. She doesn't like to not have an activity. And then you see her now as a mother the exact same way. It's always about let's go outside, let's do something, let's walk around.
Right.
She cannot just be like, let's just lay around.
Which is a complete opposite of you and me.
We're the complete polar opposite. Yeah. Yes.
We
yes.
can't do, I think she's so bored by our existence. Like,
yeah.
We're going to die today. Whatever. Like, I don't know, man.
We're going to die.
So the six trips is also a way for her to get out of the house with Weston, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Like a way for them to go for a nice walk.
Uh-huh. Six
get,
times.
Get some fun, drink, get mm-hmm. some whipped cream, because the kid loves, remember the whipped cream? I think yeah. he likes to eat
By
that.
By the way, she told me that the six trips started with the first one, which is they would get there by 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Which is when they open.
Oh, my God.
She would be there at 6 a.m., for like beginning of the day, first drink. And I have to tell people this. I have to remind them all the time because I forget. Never for coffee. There's no caffeine that she buys.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Is that it's like tea, right?
She's caffeine free. Yeah.
So then what is she?
It's these different types of teas.
Right.
With soy milks and different sweeteners. There's sugar and sweetened stuff.
Wow.
But no coffee.
Because we were saying that maybe it would benefit her and her husband to just buy like a super nice coffee machine.
Like, they're the type we were saying should get like the $1,000 espresso machine.
Like you can get a Starbucks machine.
Right.
They sell them.
Yeah, in your house. But then we realized that, first of all, she doesn't drink the coffee. But secondly, it's about going. It's the ritual.
It's the ritual. Yeah,
Right. He, though, the $1,200 a month, which is outrageous, is the two of them combined.
Right. So it breaks down to like $20 each a day.
Each a day, yeah.
Which is not that cray-cray.
But it's not good.
It's not amazing. Because like my drink, I like to get a double tall soy latte. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
Yeah.
I worked at Starbucks, and I figured out after 3 months of working there, like that's the drink for me. Mm-hmm. And I made them all day, every day, and lost like 10 pounds. But anyways, that's $5.
Yeah.
That's a $5 beverage. I feel guilty every time I fork over $5 fucking dollars.
Right.
For a drink.
Yeah.
But maybe if you drink four of those a day, that's your four of those a day.
It is way better though, man. I started drinking soy milk like 5 years ago. I think you introduced me to it.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize how much I didn't like real milk. You know?
I hate real milk.
Well, I never was one that drank milk like a glass of milk.
Ugh.
No, that nauseated me. But I didn't know.
Oh, I hate milk.
I didn't know. I could tolerate milk if it was masked.
Right.
And I would drink milk all the time in coffees and lattes and cappuccinos, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that this awful full feeling I was getting was from milk.
And violent diarrhea and gas.
Yeah.
And
but
bloat.
I didn't realize milk was doing that to me.
I didn't either until I tried. You know what's the grossest? I remember.
Soy milk's the way to go, guys.
It is. It's just lighter.
God.
When I was a little kid, remember, like, did you ever have the milk program at school where your parents paid like the $50 and whatever you got a milk every day?
Yeah.
I fucking hated it. They give you that pint.
Yeah.
And I remember it would come in like a thing of 20, and whoever was in charge of handing out the milks had to open this container of 20 pints of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And
put their finger where you drink.
The dewy residue. Yeah. But also that milky discharge, and the plastic would be
milky
like
discharge right here.
And it just stunk. It just smelled like dirty dairy. And then, some asshole teacher would come, do you need help opening your pint?
You need help with this?
You can fucking try me, fatso.
And then they put their dirty finger on the mouth part. And I hated milk. I always hated
it. Me too.
Ugh.
Me too.
The only time it was good is in cereal, when it was masked.
I could do it in cereal. Or, of course, I used to do Nestle chocolate
throw
milk.
Throw up even fucking thinking about milk.
Or Hershey's chocolate milk.
Of course, chocolate for sure. As a kid, it's just an excuse to, have the chocolate.
Of course. I couldn't tolerate regular milk.
I fucking hate it.
No.
Now that I think about it, I'm angry that they forced me to fucking drink it for so many years.
Here's how much I couldn't tolerate it. I got out of the milk program.
Livid. You got out?
I can't drink milk. I'll throw up if I drink regular plain milk. That's how much it nauseates me. So I was like, I don't drink milk.
It's fucking stupid.
I had to stop drinking. Yeah.
Fuck milk. Milk. They feed you shitty stuff in schools. I always remember they had like hot dog day, which is cool.
Whenever I think of milk, I just think like
dirty and disgusting.
Oh.
That's what I think of it.
Was that in reference to milk? Was she referring to milk?
She was like, milk?
Dirty and disgusting.
Who is that in reference to?
I don't remember who we were talking about specifically. It might have been some former employees that Maria had, but I can't remember who it was exactly.
Like a particular ethnic group, maybe?
Could have been. It could have been a like a particular group that is like
dirty and disgusting.
Hey, I just realized, you know, it's my birthday. Do you think I can cook that puss today or what?
Well, let's see if there's time, you know. I got a lot to do today. After this, I got to go to a mom-dition. And then you got to take Theo to the vet. You got to take Theo to the vet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, check this out, guys. Theo gets his... what's supposed to be, and hopefully a final clean bill of health.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready for this dog to be up and running so we can take him on the road,
buddy.
I love you guys. Where have you been? I love you guys. I've been watching a lot of The Dog Whisperer,
yeah.
Cesar Millan,
mm-hmm.
To figure out how to properly train our little beast.
Good. You know what I realize? Having this dog and then watching like Cesar in those shows, how many people don't give a shit about their dog or just don't raise their dog. Like, they don't give a fuck. They think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then he speaks in terms, I think the reason he's so successful is it's so clear and logical the way he explains things.
And he's a foreigner, which I fucking love.
Yeah. Because
he doesn't have any American pretense. Like, foreigners will act out in ways like he imitates the dog and be like, God, you know, this energy. And he does it, and he's not embarrassed, but the viewer's embarrassed because he's pretending to be a dog, you know?
Yeah.
It's so funny, dude.
It is great. But he tells you things like, you know, you're thinking this because you're thinking like a human, and it's not a human. It's a dog.
It's stupid.
And he's telling you like, and you go like, oh, yeah, that's stupid. I do think of like the dog as a person. He's like, it's not a person. It's a dog.
You need calm, assertive energy.
Yeah.
No touch, no talk, no eye contact.
Like the one that always I thought made the most sense, one of them, I mean, he says a lot of things that make sense, but Caesar talks about how, you know, when you come home and your dog is super fired up and
it has
and then what a lot of people do is they'll match that energy with the dog.
I
love you, hi, I love you.
Right.
But really, your dog is like acting out from this anxiety that was bottled up, and now you're home and he's freaking out.
Right.
And by you doing that, what you're doing is you're reassuring the dog.
You're feeding the anxiety.
That anxiety, exactly.
As opposed to giving him calm, assertive energy.
And then he calms.
And then he matches your energy because you are the puck leader.
The puck leader.
You have to be the puck leader.
Dogs are puck animals.
They are puck
animals. So the dog wants you to be the puck leader.
You do a great Cesar Millan.
Well, my mom talks like this too.
She definitely does. You know what I learned too watching The Dog Whisperer?
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch the very best of Cesar Millan. And the whole thing is that your dog is a reflection of your emotional state.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will have a dog die.
Yeah.
And then in that state of mourning, go to the pound, pick another dog, and then assume that this new dog is the same as the old dog.
Right.
And what happens is that dog senses your low energy, your sadness,
mm-hmm.
and it assumes it's stronger than you.
Right.
Because now he's the alpha.
Yeah.
He's the puck leader. And that's when the dog will dominate your house, chew up your furniture, shit on your carpet, act in anxiety and everything like that. That's the biggest mistake. So the dog is a reflection of your emotional home.
This totally reminds me, by the way, another reason. If you have not yet seen Bill Burr's last special, his shit about his dog had me literally howling in a hotel room watching it. It's the funniest fucking thing.
What is it? Tell me.
I can't do it justice.
Do the joke.
He all I'll say is that it's about his dog matching his energy.
Oh, I've seen. Seen bits of. I saw him working this out once.
Oh, really?
Comedy Store. Yeah, he's so funny.
It's so funny.
It's on the
funny.
Most recent special.
The last one that came out.
I'll check it out.
I don't know what it's called. I think it's called "I'm a Ginger Fucking Asshole" or something like that.
That's awesome.
But he, it's so fucking good.
Well, I wonder how Theo dealt with Maria's being here.
I think he was freaked out. First of all, well, we know right away that he was like, what is happening? You know, we have a small place.
Right.
It's perfect for us too. It's not perfect for additional adults and a baby.
No.
But we made do with what we had. And he was already like, I could tell it was freaking him out. And then we're so low energy, like chill. And then Maria was like, I'm half. La, 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 la. So everything got like pretty, they got pretty crazy. But he dealt, you know. He was able to deal with it. He made it happen.
Oh. Wait a minute. You went to the dentist
yesterday.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's hear about it.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have a confession.
Okay.
I feel like I've let myself down and I've let our listeners down.
Oh my. Oh my.
Well, you know, we emphasize the importance of the dentist so much.
Yep.
And the response from our listeners was really overwhelming. I mean, people all the time write in how they're going to the dentist because of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that we emphasize it. But even though I really took good care of my teeth mm-hmm. over the last couple years, mm-hmm. I didn't go back to the dentist for 2 years.
Oh my God. This is like the cobbler whose children don't have shoes.
Like, what am I doing? Why am I... I've been flossing every day.
That's excellent.
I brushed my teeth.
Okay.
But I just didn't, you know, I didn't go back.
Well, Tommy, you know what? We had a pretty hectic 2 years. We moved. We've been traveling a lot. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And don't flog yourself too hard. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that. So how did it go, though? What's the report?
Overall.
Prognosis.
Okay. Overall, pretty good results. I have a cavity here, one of my molars.
Hmm.
And like I said, I don't even know how to explain it, but one of my, not my two front teeth, one of the ones just to the left.
Yeah.
He said there's...
Your canine. Is it your canine?
It's not the canine.
And your canine? And your vampire foof?
That's one of the ones next to it. He said there's the beginning of a cavity starting on the inside.
I don't even understand what that means, but... on the under part there? Or in between
like not,
your feet?
Not the part you can see. Behind.
Behind your foof.
Yeah.
Huh.
Basically, I have two problem teeth.
Okay.
They're going to be addressed. Gums checked out 100%.
Really? Good. Ones, twos, and threes?
Yeah. It was,
and
well, no ones.
Five?
It was.
One's hard to get.
Yeah, it was.
Almost nobody gets a one.
It was like 3-2-3, 2-3-3, 3-2-3, 3-2-3, 2-3-3. Yeah.
That's flossing. Now, here's the thing, though. Yeah. Your molars. Everybody gets cavities in them.
Yeah.
And no matter if you floss those molars, they might be at fours just because it's so back.
I had two, there was two that had a four in them.
That's what I'm saying. Was it, were they molars?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But that's about your bone level with the gum. That score.
Oh.
The 3-2-3 stuff. All that is...
the gum being high or low.
Exactly.
That's
so,
right. But flossing diminishes the level.
Right. And I was like, he goes, yeah, like he's like, 2-3-3. He's like, even four. All four is fine.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't want, you know, 6-7. I was like, so what? He's like, well, I have some people that have 12 and 15.
Ew.
And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I just go and he just scrapes all the way down to the bone. I'm like,
what?
Ugh. It's how much bone is exposed. That's so gross. So anyways, I went.
Hold up.
I got to go back. I'm going back to get those two teeth taken care of. But, you know, I feel like now, I mean, there's always excuses, but I feel like now I'm definitely still very active with the flossing and the brushing and taking care of my fifis. But now we have a dentist that's a mile from our place.
Yes.
I'm going to do my best to do the 6 month, you know, keep up checking
on them. Yeah, because I'm telling you, the maintenance, the preventative,
mm-hmm.
is so much better than the other end of that. When you let it go, man, you know, if I fucking wish that I would have, that I didn't get a root canal last time, that cost me a goddamn fortune.
It's so much money.
But you know what? That one wasn't my fault. That's because I had some fucking Eastern European dentist.
Yeah.
They filled the tooth. It was too much filling to the tooth ratio. It needed to be root canal. Mm-hmm. It needed to be capped, crowned, or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, man, better to pay that, you know, a couple hundred bucks than the other.
Absolutely.
$2,000.
Absolutely.
Ugh, and the pain and the nightmare and the drilling in your skull, it's just the worst.
It is.
Fucking suck.
Suck those suck pigs.
No. Well, good. I'm really glad that it went well for you.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it, you know, and also I got to say, we lucked out. It makes a big difference when you like the dentist. You like.
Yeah. You trust him.
Yeah. You just, you know, you feel like you got an honest guy. I mean, I've said before, I went to this dentist one time who was like, you have 17 cavities, man.
Ugh.
And I was like, what?
Scumbag.
Yeah. And then I went, I purposely was like, I guess I'll have to come back, man. I knew something was wrong.
Of course.
I didn't feel right about the situation. And I went to another dentist. And this particular year, it was 2005 when I went. I went to the other dentist, had x-rays done, and he was like, you have zero cavities. Mm. After the other guy.
Oh, yeah. My guy. Yeah. The Hungarian guy.
No, it was before that even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this time it was when I was working on a show and they, you know, they're like, you got like a dozen cavities, man.
That's because you had insurance. Did you have insurance at the time?
No.
Oh,
no.
And scum fucks. I was like,
really? Yeah, you got a lot of cavities.
It's so scummy, isn't it? And if you can't trust a dentist, I mean, who can you trust?
That's the thing is like that's why it's best to work off of. I mean, if you're going to look into the dentist thing, if you're going to take it seriously, get a referral. Talk to a friend who's like, oh, I've been going to this guy for like 5 years. He's a good dentist.
Honest.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a big difference. Because that's the thing about the medical world. You know, we're not doctors. We're not trained in whatever field you're going into to see a doctor for. If you're not going to an honest person, they can really fuck you over.
I know. Go see the doctor.
You need surgery. Yeah. Go see the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if someone's like, yeah, you need a knee replacement? You're like, really? What? I guess. Okay. Yeah.
But there are people that I'm sure have had that happen.
Of course.
Like major surgeries for no reason.
Well, the reason was the doctor bought a new boat.
Malibu.
Yeah.
He's got to have a mortgage. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't trust these assholes. You know what? Even last year, remember I had to go to the urologist?
Yeah.
And I remember this guy ran fucking like $800 worth of tests on me.
They do that. Yeah.
And in retrospect, I think now, back then I was panicked. I was like, just do it all. I don't want to die. You know what happened? Mm-hmm. After $800 worth of tests, he goes, I don't know what it was. It just went away. And it just went away.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things that who the fuck knows why you get.
That's the way medicine usually works.
And that's it. Yes.
It just goes away.
I guess it just went. But I'm saying that I wish I would have said to him, hey, man, can you not do $800 worth of testing? Can you give me the $200 package?
Yeah.
Let's start off small and then work our way.
Yeah. See if that, yeah,
you,
if you can.
Piece of human shit. Yeah.
It happened to me. Remember a few years ago, I was still working a day gig and I was like, this weird chest shit going on.
Yeah.
And I went to the cardiologist.
Ugh.
And he ran EKG and he was like, your test came back about 95% normal. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, there's a 5% chance that this isn't normal. And I was like, okay. So I want to send you over to the imaging center to run like crazy tests. At this point, I'm like a 27-year-old guy. I'm like, okay.
And I think 95% normal is what your body runs at most of the time.
Don't
you think?
Right. Well,
you're lucky to be at 95%.
There's another side of that. I'll tell you in a second. But at the time, I'm like, of course, when the Cedars-Sinai fucking cardiologist.
Best in LA tells
like,
you. Yeah,
okay.
I know.
So I go, have the test run. They do everything to me. And then they send me, you know, I get a bill in the mail for $10,000. Now I have insurance, so I just like, I'm like, you guys got to look into this shit. And that's a whole thing, and it ended up working itself out. I still had to come up with a couple grand for him to run that test. But at the end of the day, they're like, yeah, your heart is like a little bit larger than most hearts, was what I was told. And like one of the
heart.
Yeah, and they were just like, that's it. I was like, that's it? That's the result? Yeah, you have kind of a little bit bigger heart.
Couldn't have taken an x-ray of that?
Anyways, what I ended up doing was one of my dad's friends. I told my dad about this. He called a friend of his who's a cardiologist. He asked me to send him everything.
Oh, cool.
And I did. And when he called me, he goes, well, the first thing is that the guy, the cardiologist that I saw, told me like the whole reason I went to the imaging center was the EKG, he was like, was a 95%, but there's a 5% chance it's not normal. And he goes, yeah, your EKG is 100% normal.
Oh my God.
Like, he's like, there's nothing unusual about it.
Oh my God.
And he's like, so there's no reason you should have gone to do this.
Motherfucker.
Which makes you go like, wow, man. Like, they really just.
I don't give a fuck about you. You know why they're number one, why that guy's the number one doctor?
What?
By the way, he probably bills the most. He probably makes the most money.
Exactly.
And because of ordering these bullshit tests.
$10,000 tests at a time.
I get it too. As a doctor now, the way insurance is set up, I think it's harder for them to do business.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay their own insurance, right? The doctor.
I have no idea.
They don't get
sued.
Yeah. They have to fill out a bunch of paperwork. I understand that. So he needs to cover his ass. But at the same time, I mean, you are a 27-year-old guy.
Yeah.
You're not dying of heart problems. You know, there's no reason for you. I don't go to the doctor unless I'm in so much pain or I'm fucking pissing blood like I was a year ago or whatever. I won't go. Fuck them. Even if you have cancer, they don't even know how to treat you. They just blast you full of chemicals.
Yeah, well.
It's the worst.
I don't know if I would exactly avoid the doctor.
I do. I don't care. I'd rather drop dead.
When you have cancer, really?
No, not for cancer. But even when my mother had cancer, and all they do is blast you full of chemo.
Yeah, but how do you do that on your own? You
toxin.
Have to go to them.
I'll go back to the Hungarian doctor and just get a thing of bull's blood. Drink that. Isn't that how you treat it?
With bull's blood, yeah.
That's the Hungarian chemotherapy. You just drink vodka and eat hot dogs and it goes away.
That's a good
Nobody
point.
In my family, I mean, in Hungary, my uncle Nedetsky, he's like 80, drives a cab. You've heard of him. He drinks a fucking quart of vodka a day or a liter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eats nothing but sausage. He's fine. He's totally fine.
I know. I do believe. I mean, obviously, you can take good care of yourself and help your body out. But I also feel like
doesn't matter.
I feel like 90% of it is in the cards.
Yeah,
genetic cards, right? Like one of my, I think I've said it before. A friend, his granddad lived to be 96, 97, and he smoked and drank and ate shit every day.
Yep,
cigarettes, cigars,
mm-hmm.
liquor, beer, and red meat almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you can, I mean, Dr. Oz will say that you can like, was it my shrink, that you don't have to activate certain genes. Like let's say you're a sociopath and you're raised by normal people. You don't necessarily activate the sociopath genes in you.
Oh, okay.
So maybe if you you don't work towards activating those genes, it's probably good. But for the most part, look at that fucking asshole Lance Armstrong. He ended up with ball cancer and he's the most athletic guy on the fucking planet. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't avoid it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It'll just happen to you, man.
You're going to die no matter what.
You're going to fucking die.
Why try living until 100 anyways? Who wants to be a fucking 100?
Well, look, we got a...
Happy birthday, Tommy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thanks, Jeans. We got to wrap this up. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
You're my jeans.
You're my jeans.
My mommy birthday jeans.
Mommy birthday jeans.
You pull them up and you light them on fire and blow it out.
Blow it out my ass. Mm-hmm. If you end up being at Flappers tonight, like I said, this is going to be out after that. But
it's a stretch.
I'm so excited about this show, about everybody supporting FIFO.
Yes.
And very excited about this coming weekend. Me in San Jose, you in Indy.
Mm-hmm. Crack-a-lackers. It's going to be good. There's a lot of people in Indy now that come out to the shows, to my show.
Indy's phenomenal.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I had the best time in Indy last year, actually. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to going back.
Will you clip my toenails?
Yeah.
With your chompers? With your chomps?
Yeah. All right.
Happy Smurf Day, Tommy. I love you.
Thanks. Thanks for the birthday, love. Appreciate it. Bye, guys.
Bye. I have a song for you I'd like to do that. I'd like to go to the bar.
Plug in my iPod and listen to him talk trash on that.
He's talking about your mom's house.
Podcast, stop that. Laughing ain't gonna happen. The fix for a piss poor day. This gay discourse of mixed sorts. Get the pitchforks and listen while you bell. Hey, you're in jail. Laying with your Puerto Rican cellmate. Or when you tailgate, listen before the game starts. Play cards, listen while you're shoplifting at Kmart. Honest, I mean it. It's not a big secret. I'm often seated in the kitchen listening to Tom and Christina at the end of a rough day. Get a mug to drink. Get my nuts. Shaved. If I'm lucky, get a dental update.
Oh, yeah.
Just great, like the devil loves flames, like the devil loves heavy metal women who love snakes.
This is just a thing to help your nerves and calm down.
I like one now, bitch.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Got the kitchen, man.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Something for them fiends, fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Got the kitchen, man. Got the fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house. Your mom's house. Starring Christina Brzezinski and Tom Segura. With special appearance by Top Dog.
It actually happened in the Orlando airport once.
And Joe Double.
Is there anything worse on the planet than an aspiring white rapper?
Yeah. Your mom's house. Your mom's house.
Something for the fiends, fresh.